Dalad Shavat, Tuesday the 31st of January, Rabbi Yeshaya Noson Freilich. What's permitted in one's mouth?
What's permitted to come out?
Good morning. It's a pleasure and a privilege for me to be here once again and speak in the Torah way. Elinishmas, my father, Zecharon Levruchet, the fifth Yatzah was just last week. Rav Yosef Ben Rav David, as you know, he was quite a favorite on the contributors to the Torah Way, especially in his series right to the end of Who's Taken My Coat and Who's Taken My Coat Again. In fact, somebody came in once to the Shiva and they said, now that your father's an Olam Emes, he's probably discovered who's taken his coat by now. I also want to mention Reb Shlomo Yechiel Meir Blum from Arad, a young man who was nifta just before Rosh Hashanah, who wrote a sefer with many Marim Akoimus, and I was very much helped by his sefer. So it's also Bil Elin Shmosa his shir, this shir. What's permitted in one's mouth? We have in this week's Sedra the drama of Yetzias Mitzrayim, which followed the last three Makkos, culminating in the Korban Pesach, and then the final Yitzhiyah where Paro literally throws the Yidden out of Mitzrayim. What goes unnoticed almost is the last two parashas of the Sedra, which are important parashas, but a lot of people don't even really pay so much attention to what's written in them, even though they are written in our tefillin, which we put on every day, and they are important parashas. I want to focus on the Pasuk, in order that the Torah of Hashem should be in your mouth. So the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kof Chesem and Beis, learns out from over here that tefillin have got to be made from a kosher, a pure kosher animal. The words of the Gemara is, Torah Hashem beficho, it's got to be min hamuta beficho, what's permitted in one's mouth. At this stage, I just want to point out, I remember my father, Zichron Livracha, was once being makarev of somebody, and he was trying to persuade him to put on tefillin, and this man belonged to the animal rights group, and he was very against using animals and leather and all of these sort of things. And because of that, he didn't want to put on tefillin at all, because they are obviously made of leather. And my father suggested to him, because the Gemara says later on in Shabbos Daf Kuf Ches, that it only needs to be min hamuta beficha, min mem yud nun, the species which is permitted in one's mouth. The animal itself does not have to be actually kosher to be eaten. So if you have a cow, for example, which dies on its own, a nevela, it's kosher to be used for tefillin. So you should take Mefurish in the Gemara there and see the Tosfos there. And you take Matzliach in convincing him and how he managed to get hold of and make sure that the pair of tefillin was actually min hamuta beficho. I don't know how he knew that it was an avela, but he managed to convince this young man who was being mekarev. So Bekitza, it's got to be from a behemoth to hoira and not from a behemoth to meyo. What about something which is not to hoira and not to meyo? What do I mean? The Mishnah says in Megillah, Tzipon Zohov, if a person covers over his tefillin in gold. The Machlokes in Pshat there, whether he covers over the parashas in gold, or whether he covers over the whole tefillin in gold. But the Mishnah is not very happy about it. The Mishnah says, Harei zeh derech chitzoinim. Says Rashi, what's wrong? Says Rashi, it says in the Pusuk, L'man tiyah toyes Hashem b'ficho. It's got to be from a behemoth to hoira. So, one could ask really, well, what's wrong with the gold? Anybody know whether you're allowed to eat gold, whether you're not allowed to eat gold? Gold is not something which is forbidden in one's mouth. So a lot of people have been mefalpel, what's the pshat in Rashi, why is gold no good for tefillin? A lot of achronim, and kiveige, and Behuda. I'll mention just briefly, it's not really the main subject of the talk, but I want to just mention Pshat from the Sfasemes al Hashas, actually the Yotzeit is tonight, Hei Shabbat. It's very fitting to mention them. And the Sfasemes says that since we say Minamuta Beficho, that tells us it's got to be something which is edible. Something edible. So that means it's got to be something, not a piece of metal which is not an edible thing. I checked up with a mechutn of mine who deals in gold, and he assured me gold is not edible. And therefore, that's why Rashi says that gold is not considered mina muta b'ficha. Because it's got to be edible.
Gold filling.
Yeah. Gold filling is hopefully not edible. No, it's b'ficha, but that's where it stays. Hopefully. Yeah. So up to now we've spoken about tefillin. That's where the pasuk is written. L'man tiyatoyis Hashem b'ficha. What about other mitzvahs? What about other mitzvahs? Does it have to be muta b'ficha or not? There's a tshuva in the Sefer Har Tzvi, which was written by Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank, Rav of Yerushalayim. He brings, doesn't say who asked him this kasha, but he brings the kasha as follows. Somebody said to him, there's a Gemara in Menachos. The Gemara speaks about, not tefillin, but the Gemara speaks about mezuzah. Says the Gemara as follows, Toron Rabbonon, Uchesavtom, I might have thought that you can write a mezuzah on a stone, Ad Avonim. Says the Gemara, no, there's a Gzeira Shover, Kasiva, it's got to be written Al HaSefer, it's no good, you can't write a mezuzah on a stone. That's what the Gemara says. So this person asked the Tzvi Pesach Frank and said to him, I don't understand, what's the Havamin of the Gemara? How can the Gemara think that you should be allowed to write a mezuzah on a stone? A stone is no better than gold. A stone is also not edible. Just like gold is not muta b'ficha, so a stone is also not muta b'ficha. So how on earth can the Gemara have had the Havamina that you should be allowed to write your mezuzah on a stone? So the first thing you see from the question of this Talmud Chochem, who the Har Tzvi is quoting, is that he is automatically assuming that the din of minamuta b'ficha is not just on tefillin. It's also on other things, like mezuzah. But I want to move over here now to a Shulchan Aruch, Aruch Chaim, and Hilchos Rosh Hashanah, Sim Tov Kuf Pei Vov, about a shofar. The Chabad paskens about a shofar as follows. Shofar shel Rosh Hashanah, mitzvosa b'shel ayil, kofuf, mitzvah to have a ram, preferably bent, u'b'di'evet, kol ha-shofres k'sherim. But the Eved, you can use any shofar and be yotze the mitzvah of tkiyas shofar. Says the Rambam, shofar mebehema tumeo posel. The Rambam says, just a minute, it's got to be from a kosher animal. A shofar from a behema tumeo is posel. We look in the Mogen Avraham on the side, langer shtickle there, it brings various things, and amongst them he brings from the Sefer Oilus Shabbos, who argues with the Rambam, says no. The Rambam's whole source is from Aran, which is based on the Gemara, which is the Paschal like that. And the Oilus Shabbos says, a shofar from a behema tumeo, perfectly okay, does not have to be from a kosher behema. So you've got the Machlokes, Rambam, and Oilus Shabbos. The Rambam says, you're not allowed to use a shofar from a behema tumeo. And the Oilus Shabbos says, you are allowed to. But the Mogen Avraham, who brings him, says, I understand what Oilus Shabbos is saying, but he's not right. Because Oilus Shabbos disregarded the famous Gemara, which says that the whole Torah is compared to the mitzvah of tefillin, Gemara and Kedushin, iskash kol ha-Torah kulu le-tefillin, in which case, a shofar also has to be minamuta b'ficha. That's what the Rambam says. So it comes out, according to the way the Mogen Avraham is explaining this, comes out that if he's saying that a shofar has to be minamuta b'ficha, so that means that the Mogen Avraham is understanding that minamuta b'ficha applies to all mitzvahs, in which case it would apply to not only tefillin, it would apply to mezuzah as well. So the shoyel, the one who asked the Har Tzvi his question, that how could the Gemara have a havamina that you should be able to write a mezuzah on stone is quite right in this question. How can you write? How can the Gemara think that you should be allowed to write a mezuzah on stone? Stone is not menamuta beficha, and lechayrem menamuta beficha applies to everything, as we see from the Morgan Avraham, who says that it applies to a shofar as well. That's what we're going to discuss. Does it really mean everything?
This is called a sukkah.
Oh, Mamish, you're hitting the nail on the head. Let's get it. So you've got a sefer, Bakanta sefer, Shalas the Chuvus, Noidi Behuda. Noidi Behuda was the posuk of his doyle. Every time I look at it, I'm mamish and spoiled from I'm not the Talmud Chochem to judge, but the sharpness of it and the way the heckuf of all the sugyas, and he puts it all together, and he usually writes, you know, I'm very short of time, I just got your shali yesterday, so I'll just, it's because it's Pesach tomorrow, so I've got to get the tshuva out to you today. Pages and pages, Amish Voyadik. But actually, this tshuva, which I'm quoting now, is in Madura Tinyona, and a lot of the tshuvas in Madura Tinyona is from his son, Reb Shmuel Landau. Was in Prague, they're very, very close to each other in Prague, I've been there. Very interesting to be there. So he brings down Madura Tinyona Rechaim Gimel, and he says that the Oilus Shabbos, who says that a shofar of a behema tameya is kosher, is kosher. And he says, the Noda Behuda brings down, yes, I agree with the Oilus Shabbos. It's got to be minamuta beficha. So as Rabbi Yaakov just said, does really everything have to be compared to the whole Torah for Tefillin? The whole Torah compared to Tefillin? So he brings a Gemara, famous Gemara in Sukkah. Somebody builds a Sukkah, you've got to have walls, you've got to have schach. What can the walls be made of? Something which stays there, something which is not going to walk off in the middle of Yom Tov. What happens if you tie the behemoth down, so it can't walk off? Well, it thinks about what happens if the behemoth dies, it might fall flat on the ground, you won't have enough. What happens if it's an elephant? Gemara deals with an elephant. Can it be used for a wall of a sukkah? Even if it collapses, it's still going to be 10 tefachim high. So Gemara says, elephant is perfectly kosher to be used as a wall of a sukkah, provided you tie it down. The Gemara doesn't say, but I assume it's got to be strong enough string to make sure the elephant doesn't walk off. Says the Noda Behuda, I don't understand. Everybody's happy about this elephant being used for the walls of a sukkah, but an elephant is not a kosher animal, it's a behemah tameya. So what's happened to minamuta beficha? Says the Noda Behuda, you see from over here, it doesn't matter minamuta beficha. Doesn't matter. Now there's some people who say, no, just a minute. The walls of the sukkah, that's not the actual sukkah itself. The Noda Behuda himself brings this down and says, I know that some people are going to say that the walls of a sukkah are only a heksha mitzvah, it's not the actual mitzvah itself, but he brings down, he says, no, there's sukkim in the Torah which says exactly you've got to have walls and how many walls, the Gemara learns it out, basukas, different drushas, how many walls you need to have. It's very clear from the Torah that the walls of the sukkah are actually part of the sukkah itself, it's not just a heksha mitzvah. In which case, the Noda Behuda says, back to his question, surely the walls of the sukkah should have really been minamuta beficha. So therefore, the Noda Behuda is mamtsiyazoi. He says, not everything is the same as tefillin. What does it mean when you compare the whole Torah to tefillin? So he says, it's got to be something which is similar to tefillin. Something which has got shemus in, Parshias, name of the Ribbono Shel Olam, that's the sort of thing which we compare to tefillin. So therefore, as far as I know, a wall of a sukkah doesn't need to have Shemus, doesn't need to have the name of the Ribbono Shel Olam, even though it states if you go into a sukkah, sukkah is Gemachia, Tzadik Aleph, Yudke Vovke, Al Shemus, of the Maisa, that's a Pidrush, of the walls of a sukkah, they're not made out of Shemus, and therefore, the Noda Behuda says, it does not need to be made min amuta beficha, the walls of a sukkah perfectly kosher to be made from an elephant. So let's just stop here a moment and think to ourselves. Have we yet got an answer to this question which the Shoyel asked the Har Tzvi about whether it's correct that a mezuzah should be able to be written on stone? How could we have a minna to write a mezuzah on stone? So we've just brought down from the Noyim Yehuda that we don't always require minna muta beficha. But what did he say? Something which is written Shemus does need minna muta beficha. In which case, mezenish kahalfu, we're not helped at all. Why? Because the mezuzah's got plenty Shemus in it. And in that case, a mezuzah, definitely according to the definition of the Noyim Yehuda, the mezuzah needs to have muta beficha. Is that muta beficha? So we're still stuck trying to understand why the Gemara has got a habimina to say that that the mezuzah should have been able to be written on the stone. The olden days Noy de Yehuda, I've got one at home, Yashin did from my grandfather Zichron Livracha. That's just plain Noy de Yehuda. Now they brought out a beautiful new one with all sorts of hagoyes on it. Later on, notes which the Machabe himself added, or his son added, and it's got all notes at the back, etc. And in these hagoyes, on the side of the Noy de Yehuda, which has just recently been published, there's a note there from his son, Reb Shmuel Zichron Livracha. He says like this. I'll read out his lashon what he says. Haber shonim achar hatfosat ha-sefer, many years after the sefer Noy de Yehuda had been published, niskaleli, was revealed to me, lechalek besvora, because there's a different way how you can draw the line. What exactly is the criteria from which mitzvahs require min amuta beficha? He doesn't write there exactly how it was revealed to him. Actually, it was revealed to me how it was revealed to him. Because at the back of this sefer, I just mentioned to you before, they have all sorts of hagos and the different notes. And it brings down at the back from a sefer called Birchas Moshe, from somebody who was alive at the same time as Rabbi Shmuel. And he says, I want to write down something, a dover pele, which I heard. He said, I heard myself from Per Kodshoi, from the holy mouth of Rabbi Shmuel Landau, the son of Noy de Yehuda himself. He quotes the question, he said, I've had this question many, many years, I've had this question that the Morgan Avraham says that the whole Torah is compared to tefillin, and that everything's got to be minamuta beficha. How's it going to deal with the elephant, with the sukkah, etc.? He says, Shmuel says, that my father, Rabbi Cheskel, came to me in a chaloim, came to me in a dream, that's not about himself, and he said, B'ni, I want to tell you, my son, don't be surprised, Altitama la Chayfetz, don't be surprised about this. And he told him the answer, he said, this is the answer. Mori de Kesvora, clear Svora, he says. Nothing to do with Shemus. Nothing to do with Shemus. What's the actual Svora? He says like this. A tefillin is going to be made out of an animal. By definition, you need a tefillin, you need an animal for it, for the parchment, for the leather. A shofar also needs to come from an animal. These things have got to come from a Baalei Chaim. If something needs to come from a live animal, from an animal, from a Baalei Chaim, in that case, it's got to be kosher animal. That's when we need to have min amuta beficha. Walls of a sukkah don't need to come from an animal. Walls of a sukkah can be made from bricks, from stones, from anything. As long as it fits into the criteria, it's got to... you've got to make sure different things about it, but as long as you've got enough of it, the walls of a sukkah do not need to be made from an animal. In which case, he says, an elephant is not worse than bricks. It's not worse than wood. It's not worse than anything that. So in that case, says the Noy de Yehuda, an elephant, there's no requirement for it to be made min amuta beficha, because it doesn't need to be an animal at all. It's only something which needs to be from an animal, that we can start talking about, that needs to be min amuta beficha. So therefore, come to mezuzah in a moment, but let's just see. So tefillin is made from an animal, so therefore the tefillin has to be min amuta beficha. A shofar, quite right, the Mogen Avraham says, the whole Torah is compared to tefillin, meaning the whole Torah, things which are required to be from an animal. For example, a shofar, which is made from an animal, needs to be minamuta beficha, but the wall of a sukkah doesn't need to be minamuta beficha. Beautiful chilek. He finishes off over there, he says, this sefer, Birkas Moshe, he brings down, he says, that Shamati Mipiv, I heard this from the mouth himself of Shmuel, who had the dream from his father. And he writes down the date, which I heard it, Yud Aleph Elul, Tov Kuf Tzadik Beis, almost 200 years ago, in the Simon is of the year, the Gematria, Slach No Lavoy No Omazek, Godel Chastechos. The Prat Kot, I don't know why, and to Santa Shaikos, it was the month of Elul then, so he was in the mood, it seems, so that's why he brought down the Simon. And he continues, he says, the very next day, I had some Tamid Chumim come to visit me, and we discussed it all together. And that night, I myself had a dream that the Noid Behuda came to me. He must have recognized him, maybe he once knew him. And he said to me, Kesoyiv Lechoes Adavorem Asher Shemat, I want you to write this down. And the very next day in the morning, Hashkem got up early, said, Asisi Kasha Tzivani, and Ataka wrote it down. So, again, let's just say again, the Hezbollah clearly, Minamuta Beficha only applies to those mitzvahs which need to have something which comes from an animal.
Tefillin. An animal is a must.
Which by definition comes from an animal.
If you do it on the leaf, you should leave. You can eat. Yeah,
tefillin. No, you can't. No good. Because it's got to be ala sefer. It's got to be ala sefer. So, I've seen the other swans speaking about, I was trying to think to myself, what other mitzvah can you think of needs to come from an animal? A chalitza shoe. A shoe is made of leather. No, the Behuda speaks about it. Now's not the time to go into it. So the emes is that this Moridik Chilik, a lot of Achroinim already mechaven to this Chilik. A lot of Achroinim bring down and say it's very, very similar things. And the Hatzvi himself also, without having seen the Noid Behuda, well, the Noid Behuda, yes, but without having seen this Hagoras from the son of the Noid Behuda, also is mechavim to this Chilik. And because of this, he answers the Kasha from the Mezuzah. Why? How can a Gemara have a Habimina that he should be able to write a Mezuzah on stone? So he says like this, when the Gemara was thinking that he should be able to write a Mezuzah on stone, the Gemara didn't yet know that the mezuzah had to be written on an animal at all. It's only later, after Gemara says, no, it's got Gzeira Shova, Basefa, Basefa, Ksiva, Ksiva, that's got to be written Basefa, then the Gemara is Machadish, that's got to be written on Klaf. That means at this stage, the Gemara doesn't yet know that the mezuzah has to be written on Klaf, comes from an animal. And as soon as you say that the Gemara doesn't know that it has to come from an animal, in that case, it's perfectly feasible to understand you should, at this stage in the Gemara, be allowed to write the mezuzah alabonim on a stone. Because, even though a stone is not minamuta b'ficha, but since a mezuzah does not need to come from an animal, the Gemara thought at that stage, in which case, go ahead and write on stone. So just to summarize now, we found two deruchim to be mechalek when you need minamuta b'ficha, when you don't need minamuta b'ficha. One is what the Noid Behuda himself brings down in the Sefer, and that is that it all depends whether you've got Shemus, whether it's got Divrei Torah in it, in which case a Shofar would not need to have Minamuta Beficha, and a Sukkah would Zichah not need to have Minamuta Beficha. Or we've had this other criteria which you said, that anything which comes from an animal, that needs to be Minamuta Beficha, in which case a Shofar would need to be minamuta beficha. I just want to agav point out to you, I once heard from my friend Zichrono Livracha interesting shaila, and he quoted, again, I'll tell you the shaila. The shaila is, must one roll up a mezuzah? We roll our mezuzahs, a kericha, and we put it on the doorpost. Let's say a person's got a very wide doorpost. So he decides, he doesn't want to roll up his mezuzah. He wants to write out the mezuzah beautifully, nicely on cloth, and keep it flat, put it behind a piece of glass, got enough room on the doorpost, and put it there, anybody can come in, can see Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Is it ma'akiv that you have to roll up your mezuzah, or can it be written just flat? So he told me, as far as I remember, he quoted me from Rav Moshe Feinstein, Zichron Levrucha, from this very Gemara which we've just been mentioning, that the Gemara's got to have a minna, that you should be allowed to write the mezuzah on stone. Says the Gemara, no, you can't, because it says in the Pasuk, you've got the Gzeira Shovah. But the Gemara wouldn't have minded writing the mezuzah on stone, besides for that Gzeira Shovah. Now, as far as I know, you can't roll up a stone. So that shows us that the Gemara would have been quite happy to have a flat mezuzah. And Rav Moshe Feinstein wants to bring a proof from over there that you don't have to roll up your mezuzah good enough to have it flat on the actual doorpost itself. Now, I did a search and I looked through the Igros Moshe and I've tried very hard to try and source this raya. I haven't found it. Maybe, I know my father had shaykhs with the members of the Mishpucha of Rav Moshe Feinstein. Maybe I heard it from them. Maybe I'm mistaken. It wasn't from Rav Moshe Feinstein. Adrab, if any of the listeners here or anywhere else have got any idea where I could find this a raya to this, and I don't even know if it stayed lahaloch and the maisa. It could be that for other reasons, whoever it was decided that you can't put this mezuzah flat out. But at any rate, it's an interesting thing that from the Habamin of the Gemara, you can use the Habamin of the Gemara to prove something. Just want to finish off by saying, spoke about what's permitted in one's mouth. So, it's not just what goes into one's mouth, what's permitted. It's also, one has to be careful with what comes out of one's mouth. You know that Pesach time, many of the mitzvahs are nageya to one's mouth. The mitzvah of Achilles Korban Pesach, Achilles Matzah, Tzipi Tzis Mitzrayim. We metaher our dibur, metaher our speech by speaking pure things. I remember once hearing in a Shabbos Tegul Drosha from Rabbi Chunah Halpin Zechayin Lebrucha that he said, he quoted Teferes Shlomo, the Rebbe Radomsk, and he said, Pesach says, Matzah is te'uchel b'mokayim kodesh. The matzah has got to be eaten in a holy place. Where's the holy place? Your mouth has to be a holy place. Some people go to terrific lengths, all sorts of hidurim and chumras regarding achilas matzah, but the actual mouth which you're eating it with is also part of the mitzvah. It's like if a person gets a beautiful becher to make kiddush on, but he himself is full of averus. So therefore, a person has to be taken makbid, what's permitted in one's mouth is nageya to not just what comes in one's mouth, but also what comes out of one's mouth. And I remember Rabbi Chunah was Messiah and he said, Yetz Hashem, a person, b'makayim, matzis te'ochel b'mokim kodesh, then it'll be zoicha to the last part of the said of the posuk when it says, b'chatzah, oil moed yechlu, be zoicha taka, by being makpid taka, and here's taka the weeks, when we're making ourselves already now, before Pesach, everybody's in a mad rush, you've hardly got time to pick up a good and look in it, prepare something. But now, it's relatively calm. Yes. So these are the weeks we should be preparing ourselves taka for Pesach. So mitzvah Hashem, we should have the proper kavunas, and we should be metayer our mouths with the right things, and taka be minamuta b'ficha, what goes into our mouth, what goes out of our mouth, and we should be zoicha b'chatzal el moya to ichlum.